Dad always gives me advance notice. I know I kind of act like, oh, it's the last minute. What am I going to do? But Dad always tells me what he's doing. And he told me probably about a month ago that he said, Patty's son's going to get married. We're going to be out of town that second Sunday in May. And I want you to cover for me. And I looked at the calendar and I said, could they get married a different Sunday? Is there any way they could change that around? So I prayed about what to preach and I had 5 pages. You'll be thankful to know I now only have one handwritten that I gave up on the other one. I don't know. I appreciate everybody that said something today. I appreciate everybody that cried because that'll make me feel better. I want to repeat what's already been preached and try to give you a little outline. I do want to talk about my own mother for a minute, and that's difficult, but that's why you're stuck with me, because of her. So we read these verses in 2 Timothy. Paul talked to Timothy, and he was his mentor, he was his teacher, he was his preacher, but he knew that what Paul gave Timothy was not enough. He knew that Timothy's faith had come from somewhere and someone else. And he referenced his grandma and his mom. And he said, you had it. You got it from them. You made it your own. I mean, it wasn't because they were of faith that he became faithful, but he got his own faith. He was passed down to him from his grandma, from his mom. And Paul said, I got to add to that faith. I got to call it to remembrance. I got to stir it up. And he said, I wouldn't be able to stir up that faith if you hadn't received it from somewhere. So he was telling Timothy, be thankful for that godly heritage. And I'm telling you today, be thankful if somebody in your life, in your family, if your mom or your grandma or somebody in your family passed on their faith to you and you took it and made it your own and you are a Christian today because of somebody in your family, be thankful for that. Don't take it for granted, because I know there's others here today that can't say that. They say, well, somebody knocked on my door, or somebody I rode on a bus, or I heard about Jesus from a different person. It wasn't in my own family. But for many of us, it's that person in our family that taught us about Jesus, taught us about salvation, showed us John 3:16, or showed us the Romans road, and they told us about Jesus. When I was a little kid, I was much like I am today. I was shy. I was obsessive. I was second-guessing. And when I got saved at the age of 4 in Sunday school, I remember a lot about it, but I still worried about it after I thought I trusted Christ. I had a lot of questions, and I talked to my mom about it a lot. And finally, I was probably 9 or 10, but my mom is the one that I believe led me to the saving knowledge of Jesus. She took me down the Romans road. And again, I'll share it with you this morning. She told me I'm a sinner. And moms don't have to tell their kids that they're sinners, but we all need to know that we're sinners. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. And again, I thought I knew it. And my mom said, well, let's review it again, because if you're not sure, then we'll go through it again. And moms are that way. They'll tell you more than once if you need to be told. She said, you're a sinner. She said, there's a punishment for sin, and everybody's sinned, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us have sinned. And my mom told me that and reminded me that maybe the reason I doubted was that I didn't obey all the time. You know, maybe the reason I doubted that I was saved was I wasn't obedient and I wasn't listening. But she said, that's everybody. Everybody disobeys. Everybody doesn't listen sometimes. Most everybody doesn't respond the first time they're called. Most everybody doesn't respond right away. And she said, we're all sinners, and we all fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And she went down the Romans road. You know, God commendeth his love. God proved his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And she wanted me to pray and trust Christ, and she told me that verse, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And she said, Adam, you already knew all that, but we went through it again. Do you want to pray? And I prayed, and I believe again that from that moment on, I didn't have a doubt about it. I remember I was down in the basement praying over the dryer. She was doing laundry, and I trusted Christ. I got baptized, and my mom led me to Christ. And many of you have a similar story. Maybe you weren't as nervous and worried about it as I was the whole time, but somebody from your family showed you the gospel and said, it really is that simple. You didn't miss anything. Jesus loves you. You're not good enough on your own. You can't pay for your own sin. Jesus did that when he died on the cross, and you need to accept it. And that person for you, remember them. Decide, here's my first point, decide to remember their faith. Number two, decide to remember their comfort and their grace. For sake of time, I won't read it, but if you ever read Proverbs 31, it talks about the virtuous woman. And it lists a whole bunch of stuff in there that if you read it today, you'd say, well, my mom doesn't do half of that stuff because it's talking about, you know, raising cattle and mending garments and all kinds of crazy stuff. But it's everything that needed to be done in that day to take care of a family. It's whatever needed to be done. The virtuous woman was willing to do whatever needed to be done. And it's not always that list. It's not always a checklist, but it's seeing a need and responding to that need. And for you today, as a child, everybody is somebody's kid, choose to remember their comfort and their grace. That they said, no matter what I'm going through, I'm going to be a comfort. No matter what trials I endure, I'll be a supporter for my family. I'll take care of them. I'll do what needs to be done. Remember that. Get through it. Number three, remember their promise. I didn't read it today, but I was going to read to you from 1 Samuel, talking about when Hannah prayed and she promised God, if God would give her Samuel, if God would give her a son, that she would give it back to God. She said she would give it back to him. And she said in 1 Samuel, when she prayed, she wept and she prayed and she asked God for a son. And she said, if you give me him, I'll loan him back to you, or I've lent him. She said, when Samuel came, God heard her prayer and God allowed her to have a son. And she brought him back to the temple. And you know the story better than I'm mumbling it up here. But she brought Samuel back and she said, for this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. Hannah prayed and said, I have a need. And God, if you'll meet my need, I'll let you have that promise. That promise that I make to you, I'll give it back to you, God. Remember their faith. Decide that you're going to remember their comfort and their grace. And decide that you're going to remember their promise. There are many times in my life where I sometimes would come out and say, I cannot do this. I can't do this. And many of those times, God would use a mother that would say, in some form or another, suck it up. Yes, you can. You know, it might not always be the most comforting way, but she would reassure that. I remember when Arnie, our second son, was born, when Aaron was born, we didn't tell anybody. Like I said, I didn't want to find out if it was a boy or a girl. And when it comes, you know, there's nobody else to take care of us. We'll just go to the hospital, and Aaron will be, you know, and it was rough, but we did it. We didn't tell anybody, and then we just called everybody after the fact and said, the baby's here. Well, we couldn't do that the second time around because somebody had to watch the toddler. So they knew we were at the hospital, and my mom was up there, and she was kind of, I don't know how to say it. She was kind of, she was not a helicopter mother, but she was kind of hovering. And I remember Chantel thought it was about time to have the baby, and my mom was there, you know, and we were kind of thinking, I wonder if she's going to stay the whole time or is she going to go, you know. It was rough. And finally it was like something told her that it was time for her to go. And I said, you know, all right, mom, you know, and she left the room. And then in the next few minutes, it was time for the baby to come. And I remember my wife saying, I cannot do this. And I said, I've been there plenty of times. But you know what? You've got to. There's nothing. I haven't been given birth, but there's been plenty of times where I said, there's not really another choice. There's no other option here. It's got to happen, you know. And I said, yes, you have to. There's no other choice. You have to. And I probably tried to sound nicer than that. But I remember that, and I remember that whole time I felt like there's, you know, the doctor's here, but there's nobody else here. You know, Dad's watching Aaron, and we're here, and I don't know why I made my mom leave. And then, the kid was born, and I called mom, and I said, okay, you can come back now. And she said, I'm right outside the room. I heard the whole thing. I knew you could do it. It was, It's that kind of attitude that your parent has for you, that they love you, that even when they're gone, they're not really gone. Even when they're not even when they're not right in your business, they still know what's going on. And that's that kind of love. And remember that. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes you just want to turn it off, because there's times in your life where you don't want to think about, as Brother Wayne said, the level of investment, the love that somebody put into you, and they care for you, and they care about the choices that you make. If you're here today and you never trusted Christ, there's somebody that's praying for you, and they care about you more than you care about yourself, and they want you to trust Christ today. They want you to know that you have a Savior that's available, but you have to call upon Him. You have to trust Him. So remember their faith. Remember their comfort and their grace, even when sometimes you may not be asking for it. It's still available. And remember their promise. Again, one more time. I'll be done in just a minute. I was getting mad at Dad when he says that, but I'll be done in just a minute. Again, another time at college, it was probably for a silly reason, but I felt hopeless. I felt in despair, and I said, I can't do this anymore. What's the point? Why am I here? What's the point? And we had two phones on the dorm floor, and we didn't have cell phones, so people would call, and I answered the phone, and it was somebody else. It wasn't for me, but they said, who is this? And I said, it's Adam Manning. You don't know me. And they said, oh, yeah, I do. And I said, okay. And she said, well, when you were born, your mom and dad went to our church, and we all prayed for you because you weren't really supposed to be born. The doctor said she shouldn't have got pregnant, and then there was a lot of trouble, and you weren't really supposed to be here, but we all prayed for you, so how are you doing now? And I said, well, I said, well, now I feel pretty good. Before you called, I felt terrible. it's easy for us to live in the moment and say, you know, it's just by accident that I got to where I am today, and to not think about not only just your mom, but everybody in your family, people that you've never even met, that prayed for you so that God could come through, so that you could have that faith that you could pass it on to somebody else. And this is my conclusion. There is a reason you should remember it sometime. Again, I try to not think about it very often because it usually looks like this, but there's a reason you should remember it, and that's so you can choose to be that person for somebody else. And that's the rest of the sermon. Do something worth remembering. Share your faith with somebody. Let somebody else have the same sweet memory that you have and say, I'm very thankful that somebody shared the gospel with me and told me I was a sinner and that I was without hope and I needed Jesus. Do something worth remembering. Share your faith. Do something worth remembering. Share that comfort and grace. Go to Proverbs 31 and say, if that lady was willing to do all that stuff, there's the equivalent today. There's something I should be busy doing to meet needs and be a help, to just do whatever needs to be done. To meet the need in somebody else's life. Do something worth remembering. Share that promise. If you've prayed to God and God answered a prayer, you don't ever have to stop being thankful for that answered prayer. You don't ever have to say, all right, I'm thankful enough that God gave me this promise and not bring it up again. Do something worth remembering. Share that promise. And then be willing to tell it to somebody else. Be someone worth remembering. Say something worth remembering. And again, I'm done. Down there, we have the junior church and the nursery. The next generation of this church is meeting outside those doors right now. And in a few years, they're going to be the crying, sappy people up here, hopefully, saying thank you to the people in this room. And my challenge to you today is you all know how it feels to think about those in your life that were that kind of influence. We need to be that kind of, we need to continue, and I know many of you are, we need to continue to be that kind of influence so they can have their moment of realization where it's really not that bad. I really can do this. And the reason I can is because it's not just my faith, it's mom's faith, it's grandma's faith, it's every person that ever prayed for me, it's bigger than me, I can do this. And we need to remember that each and every day and decide we want to be that type of person. I promised I'd get done. So if you're here today, you never trusted Christ. Please don't spend Mother's Day without the Savior. Please don't spend the rest of any day without Christ. We can show you from the Word of God, from the Bible, how you can accept Christ as your Savior, know for sure you have a home in heaven, and not have to worry whether you can make it or not, but just trust that God's got you. And that's what people testified about today. So let's pray, and then we'll have an invitation. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love for us. none of us are worth it. None of us are worthy of your love. But thank you for many godly influences, examples in our lives that they knew they weren't worthy either, but they knew that it mattered. They knew it mattered what they said. They knew it mattered what they did. They knew it mattered that they showed up. So I pray, Lord, you'd help us be that type of person. Maybe there's somebody here next to us today. We know they haven't trusted Christ, and we haven't bugged them about it for a while. We haven't said anything to them for a while. Help us to do that today. Help us not get through this day and know that there's someone lost without Christ that we could be an influence on. If there is somebody here today, they feel the tug of the Holy Spirit on their heart, and they want to receive Christ, help them not wait. Help them come forward and trust Christ as Savior. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for being the example that we all should look to. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.